Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Got a good little show lined up for you today. We're going to be joined by Buddy Martin. No, it's not Tuesday. Don't get confused. I'm confused on my days because we're going to have Buddy here in just a second. And then the second half of the show today, we're going to be joined by the All-American linebacker Channing Crowder. Former Gator linebacker, played for the Dolphins, doing a lot of radio down in South Florida now. So look forward to that. But first, let's go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by our good friend Buddy Martin from the Buddy Martin Show. You can check it out weeknights around 9 p.m. Eastern time on Facebook Live. Good morning, Buddy. How are you?
Good morning, Shane. I'm doing well. Did you finally land someplace? I last talked to you. You were flying down from Jacksonville in your car or someplace.
Monday was one of those days, Buddy, where I didn't have to, you know, I usually have a lot of free time.
Yeah.
I didn't have free time to do any, it was a nonstop from 6 a.m. till when I rolled into the garage about 9 p.m. that night. So, but anyway, much better now. We appreciate you joining us today. We know you had very important event you were involved with yesterday. We'll talk about that in a minute. But first, let's talk about what happened last night at the Florida ballpark. I watched it. I guess you want to say good pitching by both teams, even though they're not their aces. Not great defense from either team. A ton of errors. Felt like I was watching a little league game, you know. But the Gators found a way to win. Cali Lau, you know, I forgot he was on the team, buddy.
I did too.
He was a big part of the team last year in the shortened season. I guess he's been struggling, hadn't been in the lineup. You know, comes in off the bench, pinch hits, strikes out his first time looking
at didn't look very good at it either, by the way.
No, but you know, that it's baseball. Mm-hmm. It's a game of failure, you know.
Yeah.
And boy, did he got a hold of one. And the celebration was on. But just your thoughts on the game last night.
Well, I was like you. I mean, I thought Calalo had taken out right down Broadway, you know, and striking out at a time. Gator bats were not good last night. And the FSU was horrible, as you pointed out. I think they set a season high of 5 errors, maybe, or something like that. A lot of them booting everything. And Gators, at that point in time, the Gators had like 3 hits. So it didn't look very good for the Florida baseball program, which desperately needed this win. Calalo jacks one out. I guess he needs to be coached up on his home run trot. He went a little too fast around the bases.
He was fired up, buddy. He knew it was going to be a celebration, a walk-off, man.
Yeah.
He knew it was going to be a celebration when he got to home plate.
Yeah, and a nice crowd, too. Nice to see people at a sporting event, right? Hope everybody was safe. But that was really something. Why they need it, they get a chance to boost their record up. What are they, 22-11? And you've been saying the whole time, well, most of us have been saying, boy, what a disappointment, that they're going to be okay. They got to get down to the end of the season, the final 8, whatever it was, and they'll show their mettle. But, boy, it's been a rough, rough spring for the Gator baseball team.
Yeah, you know, I talked with Steve Russell yesterday, or maybe it was Monday. Like I told you, my days are screwed up.
Monday.
Yeah. Since we rearranged the Buddy Martin episodes. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I was telling him, it reminds me a lot of 2 years ago when there was so much hype for the basketball team and they struggled, you know. We know this team is talented. You heard Kyle Peterson last night on the broadcast talk about Florida has a top 5 talent team in America. They just got to get it right. You know, it was good to see. We had some people here mention on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mental Law. It was good to see Leftwich come pitch the way he's capable.
Boy, he looked good, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's breaking ball.
I mean, that's really what we expected. Yeah. That's what we expected. And, you know, but we got to swing the bat better. But it's baseball. There are going to be some games where you really hit. There are going to be some games when you don't.
Yeah.
But this, you know, buddy, when I was talking to Steve, the pinch hit home run that won the game 3 against the Balls this weekend – to avoid the sweep. Armstrong hit it. You know, he was wondering, maybe that's the one incident that gets this team going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't play great, but could Callie Lau's game winner be that other part that gets us going into the series against Missouri, which we need to sweep Missouri. We got to sweep Missouri. Then we got Auburn, and we got to sweep Auburn. Those two teams are not great SEC teams, so we got to win those six games.
You're absolutely right. Baseball is a game where you get paid a lot of money for failure 2 out of 3 times. You know, if you just do that, you'll be a millionaire and professional, multi-millionaire. Yeah, I'm with you. You've been telling us that just wait, be patient. Baseball is a game of being patient. Streaks, I mean, they got a couple of guys over there like Jed Fabian. He struggled. You know, they got guys who struggle with their bats. If those guys ever start with their firepower, as I think they pointed out on ESPN's broadcast last night, you know, it could all come together. But, boy, that was a desperate time last night. Huge win. Walk off in a beautiful ballpark and a big crowd. And what's with the shirt coming off? Is that a new thing from soccer or something? Is that?
I don't know. Maybe it's a celebration that our team does on walk-off home runs. I'm not sure.
I haven't seen that many of them.
And then he flexed to the FSU dugout. It was pretty damn funny. But, yeah, it was good to see. It looked like we had a pretty good crowd there. I was going to go, but something came up. I couldn't go last night. I was going to ask you, buddy, because I was flipping around. Mm-hmm. The first baseman for FSU, the last name Martin, is that Mike Martin?
I wondered the same thing. The Martins didn't have a very good night. I can tell you that. He bobbled a couple.
He looks like he could be a part of their family. He looks just like him. So I don't know. One of our listeners probably knows Dan or somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. I was wondering the same thing. He had looked really bad at first base defensively last night. And the Martins have not favored, have not done very well against FSU. This one being exempt, by the way. I did fine, I guess.
John says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, the way they were fired up after the game is what's been missing.
Yeah.
I need that energy to carry over, and hopefully it will, because that's what I was talking to Steve about. I don't know if you got to see any of the Tennessee series. Buddy,
I did not. I had other stuff going on that week.
Yeah, Tennessee, you know, their crowd, their student section was heckling the heck out of our players. It was great. But their players in their dugout were really into it, you know, with the motion, whereas Florida looked stunned still the whole time. And so hopefully it's almost like our guys, I don't say they're playing up tight, because there's so many, the expectations were so high.
I think they are playing tight. I think they are, because of expectations. Yeah. They need to borrow from the softball team a little bit, what they got going on, you know, in the dugouts. And you're right. They look kind of placid. Maybe that brought them to life. Maybe that's what they've been needing.
We got some Facebook Lives here. I love it when people chime in here. Joseph says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Metal Law, if our batting coach was our basketball coach, everyone would be calling for his job.
It's true. That is true. Speaking of which, go ahead.
Yeah, Norman says that was Coach Martin's son. Okay. So that's Mike Martin Sr.'s grandson. But he looked just like Mike Martin Jr. So
he did.
He had a rough night, though.
He certainly did, man. And he not only booted it, but looked really bad and was lucky one time to get the out. We bobbled it twice, and finally, I forget who the base runner was. But, boy, glad to see those Gators pitching so well. You need that ace. Leftwich looks like he's ready to go back into the rotation again, in my opinion. Just what little. I haven't followed Gator baseball, but I'm going to follow it now, and I'm looking forward to it. They need this boost right now. This program needs it, and University of Florida needs it right now.
Yeah, so Gators' big win over the Noles last night. If you missed it, they hit a game-winner walk-off home run. Callie Lau does. They get ready for the Missouri Tigers this weekend. Buddy, Mike White, we haven't talked to you since then, but Mike White has added quite a few, I think 3 or 4 transfers out of the transfer portal. My basketball people tell me these are some really good players. You know, I know a lot of people are concerned about having a big man. I think Castleton comes back. There's no way he's getting drafted in the NBA. No way. I could be wrong, but I don't think there's any way. But we've already upgraded, and we're going to be a better basketball team. Your thoughts on what's going on with basketball right now?
Well, I'm like you. My basketball people are telling me the same thing. In fact, my basketball people are saying, and something you pointed out a couple of weeks ago, that the modern team is usually half of them are out of the portal. I'm told that 3 of the 5 starters or more could be out of the portal this year. And they really like these players they picked up. The kid from drawing a blank now. I wish I had my notes in front of me. Anyway, the senior they got, they picked up, who's supposed to be a good defender, and I watched some video on him. He handles the ball well. He shoots the ball well. He looks like somebody could come in and provide some glue to this team, which they're going to need this year.
Yeah, I can't wait. You know, I've heard some people, well, these guys are coming from Missouri, Kansas City. They're coming from Charleston Southern. They're coming from this. Look, in basketball, it does not matter.
Ball is ball.
And I try to tell people, you know, Maceo Teague, who was one of the prime players for the Baylor Bears, was a transfer from UNC Asheville. So it doesn't matter where you play. Yeah, we're going to be fine. Buddy, real quick, let's do our I want to do This Day in Sports, which is brought to you by Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. From now until May 31st, get our preventative maintenance plan for $169 and save almost 40% off the normal cost. Any maintenance schedule between now and May 31st will also be entered into when a Nest thermostat with installation. Okay, this day in 2019, Tiger Woods wins his fifth Masters by one stroke. Listen to, you know, I got to watch this because, you know, during the rain delay, they went back. Yeah. And it was unbelievable how everybody basically said, okay, Tiger, we're just going to let you win this Masters. He won by one stroke over Xander Schauffele, mm-hmm. Dustin Johnson, and Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
You know, because on that last round, if you remember, four of the last five players hit the ball in the water on 12 and basically just handed Tiger the damn golf tournament. But that's that's This Day in Sports brought to you by Comfort Temp.
And Schauffele did the same thing, but it wasn't Tiger. But we haven't talked. We talked on my show, but we haven't talked on your show. Real quick, I think Matsuyama and his caddy did such a great job. So many people were impressed with that photo that of him standing bowing of his caddy bowing to the Augusta National, and then the photos of Matsuyama at the airport, you know, by himself, like anybody else on his phone, you know, whatever. I think they did themselves proud, and I think they had a lot of dignity and class. And I even know Jack Nicklaus had a lot to say about it, was so happy for Matsuyama. And what, you know, it's like, how big is college football in Ole Miss? Well, double it, and that's how big golf is in Japan. How big is football in the state of Mississippi? It's the thing, right? And that's what it's times two or three in Japan in golf.
Yeah. Speaking of college football, buddy, I don't know if you saw this. I took a picture of it off Twitter. Hmm. Let me pull it up.
Okay.
I was blown away at that some kind of rankings came out yesterday. The preseason FBI rankings for the SEC came out yesterday. Yeah. I'm gonna read through these real quick. These are who they're ranked in the nation. Yeah. Alabama obviously is one.
Right.
Texas A&M is sixth. Georgia is seventh. The Mississippi State Bulldogs are ranked eighth.
No way.
Florida comes in at 14. I don't understand that. Can you help me out?
I listened to the guy on yesterday briefly on Feinbaum, but something about the returning quarterbacks or some kind of system, the point system. I don't know. Maybe they're doing things in circle I don't know about, but I don't see that happening. They'll be lucky if they aren't last in the West.
So I don't know what FPI actually means, I was blown away when I saw Mississippi State at eight. And Iowa State, John says Iowa State was like fourth. I know Iowa State has a ton of people coming back from last year's team.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see.
By the way, the guy's name I was trying to think of is Flanders Fleming from Charleston Southern. That's who
Flanders. I
love that name. That's a great name. Flanders Fleming Jr. So he's 6'4", 210. Anyway, yeah, he's from Athens. So I'm looking forward to seeing Flanders play, man.
Yes, indeed. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from RouteSpot. April's your lucky month at RouteSpot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Got a few more minutes with Buddy Martin here from the Buddy Martin Show. We'll be joined in the second half of the program today by former All-American linebacker Channing Crowder down in South Florida. All right, buddy. We excused you from Tuesday because you were at a big event. Tell us what was going on.
Well, I was pleased to be at Trinity High School yesterday with the kind of quarterback club gang. And presenting the Scott Brantley Trophy, which is named for one, maybe the greatest high school player ever to come out of Marion County. And it, not just because of the football ability, because of academics, commitment, et cetera, faith, et cetera. And they got to be a senior. And Jake Slaughter, a young man that I met and had talked to, I'm really impressed with him as a young man. I hope he can play. He was going to FSU and flipped him, was going to Florida. He got the trophy, and it was Tommy Bond put on a good day out there. Trinity's got an amazing number of scholarships offered academically. I mean, hundreds of thousands of dollars. That day, Tommy Bond did a nice job, and we were with the quarterback club, Todd Duffy, of course, Mike McGinnis, and very proud to present this trophy to the young man who represents all the good qualities of Scott Brantley, who played all of his football. Shay, think about this. He played high school, college, and pro within 100-mile range of where he grew up.
That's lucky.
Who's ever done that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you wanted to pop up some pictures of the event,
I do,
right?
Yeah, I think Evan's got him up there. I believe he's going to pop them up. He said he had just real quick a picture of the trophy. And I think the Brantleys are doing the chomp with Jake. And while we're waiting for that, I want to mention the Kyle Pitts thing real quick. I know we're in a hurry as soon as Evan gets his pictures up. I watched that special last night. Okay. Well, we didn't see him here. Okay. Thank you. Well, we didn't see that. So thank you. Yeah, that was the chomp of the Brantleys. And that's Jake in the middle. I want to say real quick that, where was I? I forgot.
You were talking about the Kyle Pitts deal.
Yeah, the Kyle Pitts video. We talked about it some off the air. And I thought, who's that guy remind me of? Because he's become like the hot guy. I think it's still possible. There's going to be some deals made. There's two or three teams looking to get him. Atlanta have that four spot, but now the Dolphins are after him. I still say he would be an unbelievable player for the Jacksonville Jaguars. If they somehow could get him, he would make. I mean, he'd be worth a couple of million a year at least to Jacksonville's quarterback, without a doubt. So he reminded me. I said, what does he remind me of? Big wingspan, tall guy, fast. Looks like a pterodactyl, you know, with that wingspan coming there. I mean, he does. He's a beast. He is absolutely a beast. We're talking now about him when they fall in love with him. Mel Kiper has to say he's one of the all-time best guys ever in the NFL draft. And, is he going to score big money, which really isn't that important that much, I guess, for most people. But he is making himself and the rest of Florida proud. And it's going to be a big day to see where he goes. And I'm still holding out hope for Urban and the Jaguars. I know it's a long shot, but there's going to be some crazy things happen when they get to that fourth spot on the draft.
Yeah, if I'm the Atlanta Falcons, I take Pitts. Because think about the offense with Kyle Pitts, Julio Jones, and Calvin Ridley. Mm-hmm. You know, Matt Ryan is still a pretty good quarterback in my opinion.
A couple years left.
I mean, he's only 35 years old, buddy.
But he's an old 35. But he's an old 35. He's been beat up a good bit, and he may have 3 years left, and he certainly would revive his career without a doubt. So I want to. When you get in a bidding war, what happens? People do things they don't usually do. There's going to be some jiving, joking, and jiving going on in that draft. I can't wait to see where he lands, and I can't wait to watch him as a pro.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Buddy, who you got on the show tonight?
I've got the show pony from XM Sirius Radio. A lot of your listeners know who he is. Chris Childers has been one of the original members of Sirius Radio. He and Rick Neuheisel will do that show full ride. Always love having him. I got some guy named Doring you might know tonight as well. So it should be a fun night tonight on the Buddy Martin Show, 9 o'clock. He is on right here on Facebook Live.
All right, good stuff, buddy. We'll have you back on your regular schedule morning next Tuesday.
Good.
Be safe out there, man, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, Shane. Have a good day.
That's Buddy Martin. Join us from the Buddy Martin Show. We're going to take our first time out of the program. When we come back, we'll be joined by All-American linebacker Channing Crowder. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Ava and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogra Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Regal Cinemas, Dave & Buster's, Le Macaron, Sushi Hana, Bass Pro Shop, and coming June of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan of our hotline to a guy who did a lot of celebrating as a Gator. The old linebacker, Channing Crowder. Good morning, Channing. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. Just hanging out. I appreciate you having me on, bro.
Absolutely. You know, we were talking before you came on. I totally forgot. You and I were teammates my last year in the NFL in 2006 with the Miami Dolphins under Nick Saban. And we'll talk about your Dolphin career here in a minute. But let's first start. You grew up in Georgia. In your recruiting process, you signed with Ron Zook and the Gators. What other schools did you look at and take visits to?
I actually went, I did the summer tour between my junior and senior year and went all through the Big Ten. I went through Michigan, went to, you know, my dad was a Penn State, you know, a Penn State right. alumni. So I went through Penn State, Michigan State. I took the whole East Coast tour. I wasn't going out west. I knew I wasn't going out west. So we started in Atlanta, went to South Carolina, Tennessee, North Carolina State. Chuck Amato was there at the time. And just went around one summer and took unofficials. And then my five officials were South Carolina, NC State, Penn State, Georgia, and Florida.
And so when you told old Pops, I ain't going to go play for the Nittany Lions, how'd that go?
He understood because I went up there in the summer to a football camp. And, you know, Happy Valley's beautiful. But my official visit was on January 11th. I'll never forget it. 4 feet of snow. Actually, the Courtney Brown. The defensive end was my host, and, you know, he had it all set up. Nice guy, beautiful campus. But, Shane, 3 feet of snow on the ground, 10 degrees. A guy from Georgia, lived in Tampa for years, and now Atlanta, I couldn't go live in that. So when I told my dad, I was like, I can't live in this. I would love to play football, you know, in Happy Valley, but I can't live in this snow. He was like, I fully understand, because he was from Pennsylvania, but he's the one that moved me to Tampa and then to Atlanta. So he was like, I understand. I grew up in Pennsylvania, but if you can't deal with it, you can't. So I don't think he liked it, but he understood where I was coming from.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So who was the main guy on Ron Zook's staff that was your recruiter?
Charlie Strong. Charlie Strong. Actually, I was committed to UGA for Mark Richt. So okay. I wasn't even going to take a fifth visit. I was going to take 4 visits because Spurrier was recruiting me throughout my entire career, my entire high school career. And then that same summer I'm speaking of, right before my senior year, Spurrier went to the Redskins. So at that moment, I was like, or Washington football team now. Changing up. I'm old. It takes me a while to transition.
I'm with you. See my Redskins helmet. So they're the Redskins.
Okay, yeah. Chargers are still in San Diego in my mind. But so Spurrier gets up and goes to Washington. And so then in that moment, Florida was out of it for me. I didn't know who Ron Zook was. And Ron came down. He came to my high school, kept recruiting me. And then I would say, a month after Ron got the job, that's when Charlie Strong left South Carolina. And when Charlie went to Florida to be Ron's DC, I was one of the first calls Charlie made when he got there because he was recruiting me to South Carolina. And I decided not to go to South Carolina. And Chuck called me. I still talk to Charlie to this day. Chuck called me. He said, Crowder, you got one more visit. He said, you can just come down and enjoy the sunshine down here in Gainesville for a couple of days if you like. I said, Coach, I'll come down, have some meals, eat some lobster at, you know, at the little Gator alumni places.
Yeah.
Man, fell in love with Gainesville. I always loved Charlie Strong. He taught me football. I thought I knew football. When I got to UF, he taught me how to play linebacker. He taught me football. So I would say without Charlie Strong leaving South Carolina, I probably would never have been a Gator.
That's awesome. Now, I want to say, didn't you hurt your knee your high school, your senior year in high school, or you had a knee injury?
Yep. I tore my ACL my senior night, my last game in high school, I tore my ACL. And that's back when it was, you know, NCAA was different back then where you could gray shirt. So I actually gray shirted, moved to Gainesville, got an apartment, got a job, and lived in Gainesville like a pedestrian for a whole semester. And then I enrolled in January, got to practice for the Outback Bowl with Rex Grossman and Ernest Graham and all them guys, and couldn't play in the game, but I got to practice because it was that next semester, you know, window, and then started. And that's when if you look inside, I left as a true sophomore, but I was really a gray shirt sophomore. And that's how I got to leave because I was, you know, 3 years removed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's crazy because, you know, I would say it depends on what school it is, but you know, if a kid has a severe knee injury like you had, sometimes they're like, you know what, we're not going to sign you, but at least they honored their commitment.
Oh yeah. Oh, Ron, when I got hurt, I think Ron called me the next morning because, you know, they keep up with you. So, you know, I got hurt on that Friday night. Ron's called me Saturday morning. I'm down, you know, my legs all wrapped up, you know, I'm going to have an MRI later that day. And Coach called me. He said, hey, come on down. We'll figure it out. We have the best doctors in the world. Have you ever heard of Shan? You know, Ron's up. Hey, have you heard of Shan's? Shan's the greatest hospital ever. So Ron was all on it, man. The next morning after he called me, and that's just, man, that's that Gator love that, you know, we all know about, the Gators know about, but no hiccup in anything recruiting after I injured my knee.
That's good stuff. We're speaking with Shannon Crowder here on the Titan Amora Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Talk a little bit about Ron Zook. You know, tremendous recruiter. I think he was a player's coach. I had Zook, I think, 1 year. He was the defensive coordinator under Spurrier. Then he left. Maybe a couple of years. I can't remember. But very high energy guy. What was it like playing for him?
Just like you're saying. There's, you know, there's player coaches and there's non-player coaches. Whatever on the spectrum of player coach that you think player coach is, he's 10 miles past that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, I know people heard the story about him wanting to go fight a frat because, you know, they jumped one of our teammates. Like, he was one of the guys. He'd come in the locker room. He'd dance with us, you know. He'd always run up on you and act like he wanted to fight you and stuff just to get you going. Super recruiter, great motivator. To be honest, we know football, Shane. The game day decisions, some of them were questionable with Ron Zook. But just getting guys ready to play, getting guys motivated to play, and bringing in talent, Zook was the man. We used to go to his house. He had two big old Weimaranians and big gray dogs. They used to run around crazy in his backyard. I saw his daughter recently, randomly at an airport. I remember his daughter from when he was in Florida. Like, just a super great human. Great, like I said, great recruiter, great motivator, decent coach, game day style, but he was a special teams guy. And yeah. I'm not a fan of head coaches that aren't on either side of the ball. I want a coach like Spurrier. Spurrier was offense. I heard all the stories about Spurrier. Hey, get the defense ready. I'm gonna have my offense ready. I kind of like that coach. So Zook's a special team, you know, special team coordinator was his thing, you know, basically. So I think that hurt him a little bit, but special teams were great. We just had a bunch of talent, and as you saw when Urban Meyer came in and won two national championships with Zook's people. So a great, great human, great recruiter, great coach. I love him.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, a lot of people don't give Ron enough credit for those national titles that Urban had because, boy, he brought in some damn good players. When you look back at your career, is there one game or one moment that stands out in your mind?
Whew. Those Georgia games were big time. I love playing in that world's biggest cocktail party. Mm-hmm. You could just feel the tension in the air. You can, you know, cut it with that's before they had it split down the middle. That's when they go section to section. So yeah. Orange, blue, red, black, orange, blue, red, black. And it would be a whole stadium. You have to, I think both games I played in, they stopped the game because they were fighting in the stands. Just the tension of that, just the rivalry of that game was big. My last game was when we beat Florida State in Bobby Bowden Memorial Night when they named the stadium after him. We went up there and whooped him and carried Ron Zook off the field. after he got fired. So he stayed around after they fired him, which was big, and then go to beat Florida State, which was great for him and just great for the team. But I would say most memorable would be those Georgia-Florida games, man. I loved the hatred between those two teams. I loved playing with that edge the entire game. Every snap was tension. Somebody wanted to get knocked out. Somebody wanted to, you know, embarrass another guy. I love that dynamic of football.
When you think back to your college days, was there one, you know, probably a running back, not so much a quarterback, you being a linebacker, but is there one running back that you faced in college that, I don't say when you were watching game tape, getting prepared for that game, you're like, man, it's going to be a long day. You know, this dude runs downhill, and there's a good chance he may run me over. Was there one guy that you faced in college like that?
It was a combination of those Arkansas running backs. Was it McFadden and Felix?
Felix Jones.
Felix Jones was there, but they also had Jason Peters. Pig Peters was their tight end.
Yeah, he ended up – I was with him in Buffalo his rookie year, and he went undrafted, and they brought him in as like a project, and the offensive line coaches were like, we're going to make you an offensive tackle, and you're going to make a lot of money. And I'd be damned if they didn't. I mean, he made a ton of money.
Yeah, I believe he's a Hall of Famer now. Pig done. I know him. You know, we see each other. I know him. And Pig's a heck of a tackle. And they had another, because he was the tight end, actually. They had an All-American tackle. I think his last name was Andrews. So they ran a power. So you got 600 pounds of man coming down on that DN. You got a big 270-pound guard pulling, and then you have Darren McFadden behind him. And it was just it was a long day for me at middle linebacker, trying to sneak backside every time again and not go over top. And I was just trying to make a play. But I would say, as a running back, those Arkansas boys were bringing that fun. Jabari Davis at Tennessee was strong. The hardest hit I've ever put on but received also was Greg Jones, fullback from Florida State. Mm-hmm. He was a fullback. Leon Washington was a tailback. They ran a fullback trap, and I read it, and I ran through the B gap full tilt. He ran through full tilt. We stalemated. I got up, and my face mask almost fell off. It was only one buckle. He busted. People that don't know, there's four buckles on your face mask. That one hit, boom, knocked off three buckles, and my face mask fell off and was dangling from my helmet. And I was a little dizzy. He was dizzy. We're both reaching for the ground. So, yeah, Greg was a monster, but I would have to say just – flat out thinking back, I would say those Arkansas matchups were tough on a linebacker.
Yeah, you talk about collisions. You know, offensive linemen don't really have collisions because they're so close to the D-line. But I've never understood how linebackers and running backs can take those licks and just get up and keep going. I mean, it is a violent game, and you really don't realize it while you're playing. You know, I'll go watch the Gators practice or go to a game or something, and you just see the collisions. You're like, why in the hell did I decide to play football? But I can't imagine what your body feels like right now. When you look back at playing in the SEC, best conference in all of football, was there one stadium or one away game where you liked to go so you could talk trash to the fans?
Ooh, Tennessee was big. That's their six figures. So Tennessee was big, but they're not nasty. LSU, Death Valley at night. When we went up there and beat Nick Saban the year LSU won the national championship, they were 12-1. Theatric Faison went crazy. Chris Leak had a heck of a game. We shut down their offense. They were throwing ice at us. They were throwing batteries at us. They told us, do not take your helmet off the entire game. And we were like, why? And, you know, I'm a tough guy. I'm taking my helmet. Who the hell are these people? And then I heard that first dink, and I looked down, and there was a AAA battery that somebody just threw at me out of the stands. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm not taking my helmet off. Appreciate that, coach. But I would say I love playing in Death Valley because, just like I said, I love that. I love tension. I don't like nowadays with this jersey swap and all these guys helping the other team up. I'm old school, Shane. I believe you're old school as well. I don't like you. You don't like me. Let's go out here between these lines and figure out who the better man is. And at LSU, that was my favorite away team just because of that tension I'm speaking of. Not even biased, though, Shane. That swamp is special. When they say, here come the Gators, and those 90,000-plus start screaming, the ground literally shakes as you're running out. and you make a play, you make a big sack. I had, a couple of interceptions in a swamp. And it's just crazy humans just screaming your name. They know you everywhere around the city. It's just that excitement is the same as the tension away games, the excitement of the swamp. I tell people, not even being biased, I've played a lot of places in NFL and college. The swamp is the best stadium in the world.
Yeah, it's a special place. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. Speaking with the great linebacker for the Gators, Channing Crowder, here a few more minutes. Who's some of the Gator teammates you stay in contact with?
The McCollum twins, Jermaine and Tremaine McCollum, were my best men at my wedding. They're twins. They're both of my best men at the wedding, which is, which is not usual. But, man, Jarvis Herring, Jarvis Moss, Joe Cohen, Leek, me and Dallas Baker talked yesterday, Keewon Ratliff. Man, I'm going to miss out on guys. I must keep up. I keep up with 10 times more Gators than I do NFL teammates.
Yeah,
I'm talking about, if I go through my phone, Shane, I guarantee there's 50 ex-Gators that I keep in touch with right now.
Yeah. Tell me if you agree with this, because, you probably get people ask you all the time. I mean, you only played in one team in the NFL. We're going to talk about that in a minute. You played with the Dolphins. I played 14 years. I was with six different teams. I bounced around. Met a lot of great guys. I keep in contact with them some, but it's different. The NFL is different. You want to win, but whether you win or lose on that Tuesday or Monday, you're getting that check. You lose on a Saturday, it's like the damn season's over. Your life is over. But you came after Jan Hall, but you live, you work out, you eat with all these guys for 4 or 5 years, and it's like they're part of your family. And so I think that's why college football to me is way more exciting and just the passion of it, because you grow up as young men with one another, living together. You agree with that?
Oh, 100% correct, because it really becomes a business in the league. Like you're saying, win, lose, or draw, there's a nice check coming on that Tuesday morning when you walk into the facility. So a lot of guys take it that way, guys from different places, guys have their own trainers and all that stuff, Shane. Like I said, we didn't have Jan Hall. We had 95, the Springs. And 80% of the team stayed in the Springs. Get up together, beat on all the doors to wake guys up so they're not late to workouts. Like, it was really a family. Drive to eat. Everybody's piled up on the scooters to get three dudes on one scooter ride. Your chest is laid up on one of your teammates' backs. It's a closer connection in college. And it shows what we're just talking about, where I just keep up with so many more Gators, ex-Gators, than I do my NFL teammates. And back when I played, when you played, I'm sure as well, there was not this transfer portal and guys jumping here to there and getting their feelings hurt and leaving the school. You come to Florida. If you don't flunk out or get kicked out, you stay at Florida and you wait your time to go out there and play. And people respect that. Guys respect that. And guys try to build you up. I remember the Earl Everetts and the Brandon Silas, who came after me. As soon as they got there, I take them out on the field and I work on pass rush moves, work on, getting off linemen. Cause I'm like, hey, I want to leave like Mike Natil and Bam Hardman and Mike Peterson. They took me under their wing. Mike Peterson was already in the league. Mike P came back and helped me with feet work and drops, because you want to leave a legacy at Florida. So I didn't want to leave the Florida linebacker room bare when I left. I wanted to leave some dogs in there so I can go watch UF football and enjoy it. So Brandon Seiler, Errol Everett, those guys after me, man, I brought them right up. And if I work with them hard enough for them to take my job, I wanted them to take my job, because I'm going to outwork you. I'm going to help you, but I'm also going to outwork you.
Yeah.
That dynamic I'm speaking about is not in the league. There's guys, you don't take your job because you're going to be back at home without that check coming on Tuesday. Yeah. So that whole dynamic's different when you get to that next level.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, so you get drafted by the Miami Dolphins. Was there a big adjustment for you personally? The speed of the game, even though the SEC is the best there is, it's still a different speed in the National Football League. Did it take you a while to adjust to that?
It took the running backs, like when Ronnie Brown was there. Ronnie was in the SEC. I saw guys like that. Let me just speak about the Arkansas guys, all those guys in the league. To be honest, and it's not – people always wanted you to talk about the glory positions. My biggest transition to the league, Shane, were those linemen that were just as quick as you, running 4.9s, but they weighed 360 and they could dance like a ballerina. I got there with Vernon Carey. He threw me in first padded practice. He threw me into a chain link fence on the side of the field. And I was like, "Who? This never happened at Florida." Just the Jonathan Ogdens, the Steve Hutchinsons. My goodness. The Kansas City line out in front of Priest Holmes for years with Willie Rolfe and those guys. Man, they were just the transition to the size and speed of those linemen were the hardest thing for me to deal with. Mentally, like I said, Charlie Strong's defense, Nick Saban's defense, they're very similar. They call a lot of the same things. So that transition, the mental side of it, wasn't that tough for me. But getting used to those linemen, not just being able to, you know, give them a little head fake and they're falling sideways. You give them a head fake, they'll head fake you back and stare at you. What do you want to do now, little man? So that was the biggest transition for me with those linemen.
You know, you play for Nick Saban, and I was only there for a few games in my last year with Saban. What did you like playing for Nick?
Whew, that's a dynamic question. I enjoyed his football mind. He would tell us what's coming defensively at least a dozen times a game, 10, 12 times a game. He'd say, "Hey, they're going to go trips and run the weak side screen on third down. Just make the tackle." And they'd come out in two by two. They'd motion the trips. The back would be offset. And I would be like, damn, this dude called the play before the series happened. So that side of it I loved. As a human, not a big fan of Nick Saban. Not concerned with you as a person. You're linebacker one, you're running back three, you're wide receiver four. Nick Saban, he's not a very personable human being back when I played with. Maybe he's adjusted now. I see he's smiling a little bit more now. I don't think I saw him smile twice, and I played for him for 2 years. He smiled twice, and it wasn't at me.
Yeah. So when you look at your career with the Dolphins, playing with one organization your entire career for the most part, I know you still live down there. You do some radio. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the Dolphins are a historical franchise. Are you glad you got to go play at a place like that and not bounce around like myself or, you know, play for the Cleveland Browns or somebody like that, but a winning franchise like the Dolphins?
I was. And I was actually upset that I, you know, got drafted to Miami because I was slated to go in the first round. Mel Kiper, who doesn't know anything, I saw him on TV this morning, doesn't know anything. He said, "I'm going 20 to Green Bay." Other guy said, "I'm not going past 32 to New England." I went 70 to the Dolphins. So I was already upset that I, you know, missed out and end up being millions of dollars I missed out on between that 20th pick to that 70th pick. So I was kind of upset, but, you know, I'm a spiritual dude, and I think it was a blessing in disguise because I came down. I got to work with guys like Zach Thomas and Jason Taylor and Junior Seau and Marty Booker, Chris Chambers, Randy McMichael, just so many great vets that helped me throughout the way. Zach Thomas would make me watch film with him. He'd give me his notes. He wanted me to be good the same way, you know, that's an outlier in the NFL, like I was talking about. But just I think it was a blessing in disguise to come down. And then the alumni base down here, everybody wants to be in South Florida. The alumni base is awesome. The Dolphin alumni, they bring us together, you know, 20, 30 times a year just to have dinners. And we had a Dolphin Cancer Challenge bike ride last weekend. So a historic organization, great to the alumni, which I've talked to a lot of players on different teams around the league where they're surprised how much the Dolphins do for us old guys. So I was upset at first, but it is a blessing in disguise. Met my wife down here, three wonderful kids now. So, yeah, I think everything happened for a reason, and I think Miami was the perfect place for me.
Well, everybody know you have your own radio show now. It's called, Hawkins and Crowder?
Hawkman and Crowder.
Hawkman and Crowder, and how people can listen to that.
It's Audacity, A-U-D-A-C-Y. It's an app, but if you're in South Florida, it's on 560 AM, and it's simulcast on 790 AM. In South Florida, and then on the Audacity app. That's our umbrella company is Audacity. So that's where all the – you can go listen to 2 years ago on the show. All the podcasts are on there. And then listen live every day, 560 and 790 a.m.
You enjoy being a media boy now?
The transition was hard. I'm not going to lie. Like I didn't really like the media. I won't say I disliked them when I played. I thought there was no reason for them. Like, I don't care what – Stephen A. Smith has to think about my tackling. Like, who cares? So I was kind of like, I didn't dislike him. I just ignored him.
Right.
And so now being on the other side, I've had to justify my takes. Actually, me and Rashad Jones are good friends. And he asked me one day, our daughters were playing together. He was like, "Bro, you kill our defense on this show. It's like, man, it's like my mom listens. It's like, bro, you destroy it. I said, bro, and it was the run defense was terrible. It was years ago. I was like, bro, y'all giving up 160 yards a game rushing. You want me to say y'all are good? You know, y'all have had a turnover. Y'all have a turnover in three games. You want me to say y'all are good? And he kind of looked and was like, you make a great point. I was like, man, I'm just speaking the facts. I don't call guys, you know, I don't call names. This guy's terrible. This guy's, you know, the worst player ever. I don't go to, like, name calling and disrespect, but I'm going to break down what I think's going on in the football game. And if you're not performing, I'm going to say you're not performing. But it was a tough transition. But Shane, I'm 11 years out now. I'm just a media dude now. People know me from media more than football, at some places down here.
Yeah. And you got another podcast that you do as well with some other pro athletes, right?
Yes. The I Am Athlete podcast. It's on YouTube every Monday at noon. It's myself, Brandon Marshall, Chad Ochocinco, and Fred Taylor, another Gator. And again, we just talk, now we talk sports, we talk life, talk parenting, we talk everything in the world. But we got some good traction. It's on YouTube. Actually, an episode was released yesterday. And check it out. It's I Am Athlete podcast on YouTube.
Well, you tell Ochocinco, I was with him in Cincinnati for a year as well. Oh. So you make sure you tell him I said hello. Before we let you go, just give me your thoughts. Dan Mullen, and he's been here for 3 years, kind of got the Gators back in the mix in the national picture. Just your thoughts on how he's got the program back in the winning ways.
Oh, love Dan. I love Dan to death. I love coming back and talking to Dan. I missed him. I left when Zucker left, I left. So I missed Urban. I missed Dan. I missed all those guys. But going and talking to him, following his career, man, is a football genius, offensive genius. I love what he did with Trask. I love how he utilized Pitts. I love how, you know, the turnover running backs. There's no Emmitts or Freds there, but they're utilizing these guys and making the best of whatever they have. And I do love Dan Mullen. I love the direction. Grantham's getting on my nerves. I won't lie. Grantham's defensive calls were getting to me last year when he had C.J. Henderson and Gardner Johnson and Duke Dawson. You can call zero blitzes. You can leave guys man-to-man when you have C.J. Henderson out there. You can't do it. You have to know your person now. So my only criticism of Gator football would be Grantham's calls. And I know he got a lot of, you know, people were giving him hell this year. So I understand it. I was one of them. So I love the direction. I just want Grantham to maybe run, you know, when you blitz, you don't have to play zero. You can trap. You can play a lot of different coverages in the back end. As you know, Shane, playing quarterback, you don't have to play zero every time you blitz. So my only criticism is Grantham got to me last year. But the overall picture of it, I love Gator football, and I'm a Gator till I die. I don't even fight people about the Dolphins. You say the Dolphins are terrible, I shrug my shoulders. You say my Gators are terrible, me and you got to have a good long 30-minute conversation. You got to justify that to me.
I like it. I was going to let you go, but you brought up Pitts. You being a linebacker, and the Dolphins might have a chance to take him in the first round. Two-part question. Who do you think the Dolphins are going to take with first-round pick? And you being a defensive guy and a linebacker, is Pitts going to be a nightmare in the National Football League for defenders?
Yes. Yes. He's going to destroy. If they put a linebacker on him, it's over. I've watched it too much. And then from the Ben Troops to the Hernandez to the Cornelius Ingram, I can go on for days about tight ends with the Gators. Pitts is hands down, head and shoulders above all those guys. I've played Antonio Gates, played Tony Richardson, played all those Tony Gonzalez. Pitts is right there with them. He's a receiver. He's a receiver that puts his hand on the ground every now and again. That's what he'd be. So I think the Dolphins will take – I hope the Dolphins take him, actually. Not being Gator biased, just knowing that we have Mike Gesicki on one side. Now you can get in that 12 personnel and have Mike Gesicki and Pitts threatening those seams. Safeties don't know where to go. Linebackers can't get back there deep enough. Throw a little play action in and Pitts is past you in a half a second. I hope they take Pitts. If not, they're going to take a weapon. We're locked in with Tua. We're not in the quarterback, you know, battle. We took four offensive linemen last year in the first four rounds. We can't get Penei Sewell out of Oregon. So I think it's going to be Pitts, hopefully, and if not, a Jamar Chase, a Devontae Smith, a Waddle maybe, another guy out of Alabama. But they're going to take a weapon early. But I pray to all the football guys that we get Kyle Pitts down here because, it would make Tua's job easy. And honestly, it would make my job easy coming in and talking about him on Mondays after those big wins when Kyle has 2-3 touchdowns.
Absolutely. Well, Channing, we appreciate you taking the time to join us. We wish you a lot of luck with your shows down there. Gator Nation loves them some Channing Crowder. And we'll have you back on again, my man.
Anytime, Shane, man. You got my number. Give me a call, baby.
All right, buddy. Take care. That's Channing Crowder. Join us on the Titan MR Hotline. We're going to take our final time out of this program. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Wednesday edition.
Hey, Gators. This is Coach Steve Spurrier. Hot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Route Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TV Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Darshakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We are the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations. Center State Bank, member FDIC. I want to thank our man, Buddy Martin, for joining the program, and I hope you enjoyed Channing Crowder. He was awesome, I thought. We had to tape that interview, so I apologize for not answering some of you guys' Facebook questions that you had for Channing, but we had to get him taped up yesterday. The winner for the Chomp Harder hat this week, remember, if you go to potupwithshane.com, you can enter to win, is, I had it, William Cook. William Cook, you're the winner. You will get an autographed Chomp Harder hat sent to you via the mail. Tomorrow's program, we're going to have Alex Marvez, his show on NFL. He talks NFL on Sirius XM Radio. We're going to talk about the draft, the Gators going in the draft. We'll also have Brent Beard breaking down a lot of college football. And then on Friday, we're going to have JC. And I got a couple of different people. It's going to be a surprise who shows up on Friday's program. Next week, we're going to have a good lineup as well. Don't forget, Gators win last night against the Semis in a walk-off home run. And also, make sure you follow and like us on Facebook and YouTube. You can listen to us on 30 digital platforms like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. Don't forget to go to firstand10florida.com. They have their promo going right now, 2 for 2 right now. You get 2 months free for just $2. So make sure you go check those guys out. Hey, folks, today's show is a wrap, brought to you by Route Spot. Be safe out there. We will see you tomorrow.